Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Domain Sherpa review titled Please Domain Responsibly, featuring Drew, Steve Mihalovich, and Jeff Gabriel, two guys who are on the show for the first time since I've been host. And in fact, it's Steve's first time on the show ever. And today we play the domain game featuring renew.com, termina.com, musiclawyers.com, eiq.com, and pleasedrinkresponsibly.com. And then we've got the Namejet Gonna Jet segment sponsored by Namejet. And we talk about some domains coming up for auction, including samba.com, mercurial.com, citydental.com, and favorite.net. And also we talk about some domain deals involving stock and equity and some of the interesting elements of those kinds of transactions. We also talk about how cooperation between domain brokers can lead to successful deals, and that's part of what makes this industry great. And we also touch on whether or not alternative TLDs such as .NETs are more or less attractive to buy when the .com version is either not being utilized or is also up for sale. All that and more is coming up on today's show. Remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at DomainSherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at DS.TV. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. And please make sure to hit the like button, the subscribe button, and all that good stuff everywhere that you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pod. We also integrate our shows with Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. So check all that out. And huge shout out to DNWE, short for Domain Name Wholesale Exchange. It's a trading platform designed specifically for domain investors, streamlining the process of buying and selling domains to make it quicker and easier. With a community of over 3,500 investors, DNWE enhances market liquidity, facilitating more efficient transactions with standard domain listings, reverse auctions, standard auctions, and soon to be added portfolio auctions featuring traffic portfolios. DNWE is part of EW3N, which is a family-run digital asset investment company based in London, England, that also operates DomainManage.com, which is a global sales platform, and Brandable.UK, which is a marketplace for UK and co.UK domain names. And shout out to Unstoppable Domains, the only ICANN-accredited registrar that lets you trade DNS domains on-chain and access crypto investors with 3% commissions, at-cost renewals, and hundreds of resellers soon to be integrated. They're a cutting-edge marketplace you need to know about and use to get more sales and keep your costs down. And for domainers with large portfolios, email Brady at unstoppabledomains.com and see if you qualify for their free transfer in promo. And last but not least, shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at mediaoptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain names and domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and domain investing. So now, with all that, it's time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J-On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Domain Sherpa review. This is where we get into the minds of successful domain investors using real examples so we can learn strategies and tactics to become more successful domain name investors ourselves. These are the experts, the OGs. We got some special guests on the show today that are on. One is on for the first time since I've been host. One is on for the first time ever. So super hyped up. But these are guys that I've known for a long, long time, and they are absolutely OGs. So to the audience in advance, you're welcome. There are four segments to a Domain Sherpa review. We've got the grand opening. That's where I intro the Sherpas, see what's going on with them. We talk about some related things, some unrelated things, some AKAs. Then we've got segment two, which is the domain game. That's where we're going to hear about what the Sherpas recently bought or sold. Everybody guesses on the price. We keep score, and eventually somehow, some way, someday, get some swag to the winner. Then we got segment three, which is Namejet Gonna Jet, sponsored by our friends at Namejet, where we review a list of domains coming up for auction and see what the Sherpas like and what they don't like. Last but not least, we'll get grand closing, where we'll discuss anything we haven't already covered, what's going on in the domain space, looking at the market trends, current events, and allowing our guests to mention or promote anything they want to talk about that we have not already discussed. With that, Let's go ahead and introduce the Sherpas. Over to my right, I got a special guest for the first time on the show since I've been a host. We've got the one and only Jeff Gabriel, a.k.a. Jeff Leopard, a.k.a. Jazzy Jeff, the Fresh Prince. Oh, you see what I did there? Oh, you saw what I did there.
I saw
you standing there, a.k.a. I came, I saw.com, I conquered from there record sales to sold out concerts. So if you want this encore, I need you to scream until your lungs get sore. Jeff is the CEO of Saw.com, premium domain brokerage, previously VP of sales at Uniregistry, the man who built Frank Schilling. Tell him.
No, I didn't do that.
Oh, come on, man. Let me tell him that. Let me say it. No, it's all good. But no, look, he put in work at Uniregistry, helping to grow that business. And before that, president and co-founder of Igloo. Before that, domain broker at Sado. He's been in the space for a long time, $350 million plus in domain sales. Notable sales at the time, Guinness World Record breaking sales, sex.com. Let's talk about sex, baby. $15 million and the highest grossing.org sale ever, poker.org for $1 million. And so welcome to the show, man. What's happening?
I just publicly reported .org to me. So,
Drew with the caveats.
Well, the .org sale, that poker.org sale was. It was back in 2000 and I think 14. like 12. So I hope that you've beaten it and other people have. And at the time it was a record and it's like,
yes,
sex.com. It's like, yeah, the record's been broken. And if it hasn't been since then, I mean, that was 15 years ago. We got a fucking problem. Right. So I want my records to be beaten and I want yours to get beaten. And over and over again with public info, it's great to talk about ones that didn't happen, but you know, I mean, that did happen. We can't talk about, but like, you know, it's hard to use that to help all of us make bigger sales and substantiate, you know, values, you know?
That's why I love Jeff. You know, he's humble, you know, he's a man of the people.
Too humble, man. Too humble.
I got to correct you on one thing. I'm not going to be humble. I got my retro Domain Sherpa cup from back in the day. And this is one of the few things that actually made it back from when I moved from Cayman.
So
I made the trip.
Here's a fun fact. The two of you got one of those. I own this thing, and I don't have one.
You want mine? Well,
I might have to send one. I can send you one. Man. I'll bring one the next time. The next time I see you, I'll bring one. I have a few. Siger did hook us up with the box.
Didn't he give you like cases of them that were like in his garage?
It wasn't a case. I got basically a box full.
Let's open up JT's kitchen cabinet.
JT's been giving them out as Christmas presents for years.
Exactly right. I'm like, I just met somebody outside, like one of my neighbors. I'm like, oh, hey, you need a coffee mug, dog? I got you. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, but I got none for the actual people who appear on the show anymore, you know? But anyway, but hey, look, I mean, that sex.com sale, though, at 13 mil is still way, way up there. I mean, the ones that get to that point, now granted, look, there are a lot of big sales in that kind of ballpark that do not get reported. But, you know, when you got chat.com, obviously voice.com, I mean, the few that have been at that level, you know, even ported or not, they're special. So, you know, it's a feather in the cap, man. That's what it is, dude. All good stuff.
Do you think some of these that are reported as that sale, do you think some of them involve stock that people put a value on? There's a couple of them that I've seen the numbers on, and I'm like, how the fuck is that business supporting that kind of a price for that domain name?
So, you know? I think that's probably true in certain cases. For example, privatejet.com or private jets, I forget which one it was. That was the case. It was like, you know, one guy owns all the stock and he assigns a value to that stock. And then he gives some stock to the other and says, oh, we sold it for whatever the number was. Some stupid number. So that's Fugazi. I think there's probably, you know, people play all sorts of games, but there are very legit transactions happening in the eight figures on a pretty regular basis. That we've been involved in, that we've been privy to, that I've had stories told to us from clients who had done deals before, you know, that I have high confidence in. I think they're happening more often than people think.
I had
a random call. Okay, so after the Tim Ferriss interview that I did, I had all these crazy people calling me. You cannot imagine, like, not productive.
Love it.
Just a caveat.
Absolutely.
And, But one of the sectors that suddenly showed up was all these like wealth management people, all these boutique wealth management people suddenly started reaching out. And I spoke to this one guy, and he's like, man, I listened to that interview and, you know, I really didn't know anything about domain names, but I actually happened to have this client who, you know, sold all these domain names. And, you know, this was a name I had never heard. I'd never seen this person. I never heard of this person. But this guy literally managed the money, and he says he saw the money come in and that this guy had sold a like several domain names in the mid eight figures, not like $10 million, like much more. Yeah. But who knows, you know, but I do think that here's I think the best way to say it. The ones you hear about are more prone to be Fugazi with some kind of weird stock deal, you know, overvalued stock, than the ones that you don't hear about. Yeah. Because most of the big ones that do happen, either the buyer or the seller, or in most cases both, do not want that to be public.
That's the problem.
I would imagine that the ones you hear about have a higher propensity of being, you know, fake or some sort of, maybe not fake is the wrong word, but inflated.
Yeah. Some sales, the buyer or the seller has said, you know, I don't care if you say it, but I'm worried about my own safety.
Totally.
And I don't want to be attached to that. And then they're 100%. Like, so it has nothing to do with not giving you what you want. It's really just personal.
Yeah. Safety fear is one thing. And then, you know, the long lost cousin, that's another thing, you know, the long lost cousin with a, you know, got a bad deal in life and suddenly thinks they got a rich cousin to, you know, help them out.
Have you had a sale where it's a big deal, like millions, and then the buyer pays a decent amount, so you know it's not Fugazi, is amount of payments gone in, it defaults. Do you think that should still be reported as a sale, even though the payment plan didn't finish? Because that's, it's like, tough. You can buy a commercial building
for a
million, and it bombs, and you let it go. Like, that's still a comp.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you use that in business? That's a very good question. I don't know that I have the answer. My personal, like, let's say what I would want to be the standard is that I think that that's fine. I think that if it's being reported, though, you know, I don't know. I think that's fair. If somebody wants to report a sale and it's, you know, $20 million, but it's payment over 10 years, you know, whatever the terms are, I'm fine with that being reported. You know, I think ideally, you know, you at least just say it's, you know, payment over time or it's on terms or, you know, there's some indication, but, you know, I think for it to really go down in the books is like this sale happened and it was at this price, a certain amount of money needs to be collected on it, right? Like it needs to be like,
it's not like a dollar and I know what you mean.
Yeah. Like, but more than 25% has to get collected or something like.
I sent a couple of sales to Ron Jackson and he came back and he's like, I see that some of these are at escrow.com. So they're not done. I'm like, well, they're payment plans and they're done. He's like, they're not done. I can't post them. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't realize, like, I wasn't trying to slide in there. I was just didn't really think about it, but I knew that these were totally,
Yeah. Well, and look, the shout out to Ron for, you know, wanting to kind of put some sort of, like, you know,
standard
validity on it or whatever. Exactly.
Even standard,
you know, I think that when it's disclaimed to say, hey, it's on a payment plan, I think that is an important aspect of it until it's fully paid off. But on the commercial real estate side, I think that's a really interesting point because, you know, oftentimes those sales are going to be reported with a mortgage on it that it's not like they say, oh, this deal went down, but it, you know, but we're making
0% of those deals happen. Zero.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, I think that's a really interesting. So we're actually at a higher standard in the domain space, which is even funkier because there's so many less domain sales reported than actually happen. But I think on the flip side, on the stock piece, I mean, you know, more often than not, really, it's not even about the ones that get reported that are inflated, but it's the stuff that's not reported. And there's so much value in some of these deals, you know, based on the stock, you know, it's almost like maybe not the full on equivalent of the guy that did the painting at the Facebook headquarters who, you know, turned a $60,000 commission, into $200 million of Facebook stock. But, you know, we definitely have been involved in some deals where the stock has added a whole lot of real value to these sales that would, you know, make it, Put it on some list. Put those sales on some lists, if you know what I'm saying. You know,
But let me ask you this though: most of the time, when the buyer is willing to give stock, that stock isn't worth a roll of toilet paper.
Not at the time that they're making. Yeah, well, maybe not at the time that they're doing the deal, right? Or the value is the value comes later, right?
Yeah, but it's never like if Microsoft is buying a domain, they're not like, I'm going to give you $10 million in Microsoft stock. They're always just like, I'll just give you cash. Like, we're not giving you.
Yeah, but we've got a couple.
Well, so generally speaking, a public company is going to pay with their stock, right? So it's companies that are either early stage, which is the not worth the toilet paper, right? Or it's pre-IPO, in which case they're just being conservative with cash, but they've got this stock that is basically, let's say, you know, there's a level of speculation, but there's real value there, right? Like, there's a clear timeline and a path to liquidity, and so that stock may have, you know, significant value. I've seen both.
I just find it. Yeah,
most of the time it's startups.
Yeah, the established companies, from my experience, aren't interested. They usually just say it's an accounting nightmare. We just want to give you the cash.
Yep, but you could have a situation where you have an established company or entity. In fact, we had one of these very recently, where they had sort of call it like an offshoot entity that they were, you know, starting, and they were willing to issue equity in that entity, but based on who it was that was effectively, you know, doing it, you knew that that equity was going to have and has proven to have real, real value. So, you know, it's interesting that no deal is the same, right? Like, we used to say domains are.
Oh yeah. It just clicked for me, which deal you were talking about. Yeah. 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 Like that deal. I was like, yo, can I please take my commission in stock too? Like,
well, and that's what I'm saying. And, you know, we used to say domains are like snowflakes because they're so unique, but then snowflakes are now like a negative term. So it's like, they're like fingerprints, I guess. But each deal too, when you're dealing these deals, and especially when you start getting, you know, getting creative around financing and equity and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they're all so different.
All right, let's go with finish these intros.
I know, right? We're not even.
Jeff's
intro. You got one intro.
That's
done.
Jeff's intro.
My AKA's
hot. Yeah, he's like, I'm hey, man. That's why I'm making you wait. That's
Steven
why I'm making you
me.
Wait.
I talk the
right,
whole time.
Hey, look, I'm super, super excited. For the first time on Domain Sherpa ever, we've got the one and only Steve Mihaljevic, AKA Stevie Miho, AKA Dark Mode, AKA Stone Cold Steve Mihaljevic, AKA Steve Mihaljevic, AKA Steve Mihala Ain't That a Vitch, AKA Latimer, AKA Tony Baselli, AKA the man in the name arena with all the right moves like Tom Cruise, AKA I'm Steven on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Owner and CEO of Name Arena, premium domain brokerage as well, has been in the domain industry for about 2 decades plus. Prior to Name Arena, worked for Safe Names, Network Solutions. I mean, a whole bunch. And fun fact, was actually a co-founder of NameJet. So shout out to NameJet. And a football guy playing college ball in PA. I'm from PA, so I feel that. Although he's a Steelers fan, I'm an Eagles fan. Sorry about this past weekend, my dude. And yeah, for the first time on the show, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here, JT. You know, quite an honor. And it's testament to you as your sales skills selling me to come on this show. As you know, I like to stay in the shadows. That's why you call me the dark man, because I don't reveal sources and methods, and I fly under the radar. So
yeah.
That's why I like to do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was really the deal when you and I talked about it. And I said, hey, man, would you ever come on the show? You're like, I just don't want to disclose really much of anything. I want to come on and BS with you guys and vibe. Like, I like you guys. You're my people. But, and, you know, so we said, hey, we'll keep it light. You know what I'm saying? We'll be heavy on the Billy cut that. You know what I'm saying? We'll be heavy on the edit. But man, you've been in this space a little longer than I have. And, you know, and longer than a lot of folks.
Longer than all of us.
You know, yeah, and I
sure
think
longer than all of us.
I started in July of 2002.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed.
The greatest decision. You know, I kind of lucked into it. I worked for MCI for about 11 years, and the ship was sinking over at MCI. And there were some people that worked at NetSol that used to work at MCI. And I got in there and got into domains. And it's been the greatest decision ever. It's an industry where it's like a family. You know, Jeff and I have known each other forever. JT have known each other forever. And, you know, I knew Drew. Funny story with Drew, and he'll remember this. Right when we all thought we were going to die from COVID, we were working on a deal. And it's a good deal. I mean, really good deal. And I can't go into the domain, but there was some equity involved. And We just about to close it, and then the world shut down. And I was like, oh my God, my business is done. The world's ending. What the hell? And then something happened in April. The skies opened back up. The sun shined, and we got the deal done. It was a great deal. And I think at that point, I think Drew knew who I was, but we'd never done a deal together. And, you know, he appreciated and respected that I could pull the deal back together and get it online and get it done. So that was kind of a very memorable event in the domain industry, and then world events at the same time. So it was
very applicable deal to the conversation that we were just having, in fact. But the thing I because like you said, we really didn't know each other at that point. I had heard of you. You had heard of me, but we had never done a deal before and didn't have any personal relationship at that point. So, but the thing I really appreciated about that deal in working with you, and I think I even said to my team after that, is like, man, he's a pro, and it's just such a pleasure dealing with a pro. And you were totally transparent to the point of like, look, it was a very complicated deal. This was not a straight down the fairway type of deal. And you were like, you know what? I'm going to put you on the phone with my client. We're going to hash this out, and totally transparent. And I don't think there's anybody else in the industry that would have handled it the way you did. And I think that was the only reason the deal got done on my end, and I'm sure also on your client's end. So,
yeah,
I salute you.
Yeah, I try to do win-win-win deals, right? I want my client to get the domain name and win. I want to make some commission, and the sellers, I understand it's a business, and I never take anything personal. It's all a business. If we get a deal done, that's great, and I'll do my best to get a deal done. If you don't get a deal done, hey, I'm on to the next deal. there's some people in this industry that don't like to work with brokers, and I kind of understand why. In some respects, there's some brokers out there that may give the main brokers a bad name, but I think people like myself and Jeff and the other people that we associate with are above board, and we're just out there trying to make stuff happen in the industry.
Yep. Hey, man. I mean, that's very well said. And and that deal was actually one of the first deals that I was involved with when I came on board with Media Options. So I know exactly what one we're talking about, which is also.
You messed up one of the most important clauses in that deal. Someday that's going to end up being a very big mistake.
We'll see. Anyway, it wasn't a mistake necessarily. You signed off on it, man. That's all. You know what I mean? Now,
under the guidance of my counsel.
Look, are we going to do this now? You know what I'm saying? Fine. But that deal was very much in line. Like you said, it was an equity deal. Another, you know, great company with a ton of potential, you know, continues to sort of prove itself out. And, you know, but yeah, it also shows the need to really have people who know what they're doing. Because when you're talking about deals that do involve that kind of stuff, right now you're getting into, you know, you're into almost like, you know, corporate transactional. I mean, this is where I'll say having a good lawyer. And I do think I did a good job on this deal, even though Drew's going to give me a hard time about this one aspect of it, which we talked about.
One aspect.
It was a business decision.
It wasn't a legal issue. They did a bad deal on anything. Did bad on anything.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that's kind of a theme to some of what we're, you know, again, kind of carrying over what we talked about in Jeff's intro, which is, you know, the equity pieces in, you know, in these deals create a really interesting opportunity. But working with good brokers is really key. You know, another guy, just to give a quick shout out, that we did a deal with this year, who we had on the show, was Bill Sweetman. He kind of in a similar vein, Steve, to like, you know, how we, you know, everyone on this show currently works very well together. We did a deal with Bill that went really well, where he was, you know, above and beyond, you know. And I think professionalism is one of the things that's really key, right? It's like, look, we all kind of work at our own pace. We're working from home. Like, you know, we're sort of different levels of professionalism or even formality, right? But at the end of the day, like, getting shit done means doing what you say you're going to do, like, and, you know, and representing yourself well, you representing your client the right way. You know, we're dealing with a different deal where somebody in the space that everybody knows, you know, fucking around with a contract in a way that, like, you know, it's like, it's either, hey, you're either real sloppy and incompetent, or you're on some devious shit. And it's like, either way, it's not cool. Right. So it's like, you kind of recognize as you deal with people, like, some people either need to get their shit together, or they need to kind of change their moral compass a little bit because the shit is askew. So anyway, I'm not naming names on the negative piece because that's not what we're here for. I think it's just also super cool how in this space, in the domain space, and we talk about this idea of coopetition and how we do have the fact that you can have some of the biggest domain brokers in the space. You guys are obviously all on the escrow list almost year in and year out, you know, and you know, here we are bullshitting, talking about doing deals together. And, you know, I mean, Jeff's got a podcast. I want to, you know, shout that out to you guys. If you haven't checked that out yet to the audience, like give that a listen. You know, it's the same kind of thing. Like we promote folks within the space that are our friends and our, you know, colleagues. So anyway, all good stuff.
At ICA last year, a domainer came up to me and said, I thought you brokers would be at each other's necks at this show. And it's surprising that a lot of you are drinking and laughing together. And I was like, well, I mean, I've known these guys for years and it's nice to talk business and it's, you know, nice to hear what they're up to and how things are going and talk about deals and things like that. I mean, I don't know. I find that if Andrew calls me and says, hey, what's the price on this? I give him the price. We can have an honest conversation about where it's going to go, what's going to happen. And he goes and does it, or he comes back and says, forget it. It's not a thing. And then like you said, move on to the next deal. And that's, it's refreshing, you know, working with a broker that you call and just say, hey, what's the price on that? And they're like, oh, you need to make a minimum offer. You make a minimum offer. And then it's like X comma XXX is what you need. And it's like, oh, I need to know who your buyer is. Fill out this form. And you're just like, give me a fucking break. Like, let's do a deal. Like if you want to do it, my buyer hired us for a reason. You know, your seller's working with you directly to do this, and let's come together and make something work so everyone can walk away happy, right? And that's the, you know, that's the goal.
We're all going to eat. You know?
Yeah, we are.
Jeff, you bring up a good point. When you were starting out, Saul, you were kind of calling me, picking my brain about I started my own company and you were going to start your own company. I gave you some ideas. And then when I was starting my company, I reached out to Mark Daniel, I had known for a long time, and kind of picked his brain. And, you know, there's a great group of people that we share ideas, we share thoughts, we tell funny stories. Hey, you're not going to believe what this client did. And we're like, oh yeah, this client. So it's such a cool experience when you have people that we're not really competing, but we're in the same industry, sharing ideas, sharing thoughts, each trying to sharpen our skills and do a better job for our clients and make more money for ourselves.
Now, listen, I know I got sharp elbows, but I haven't gotten an invite into that little group. Where's my invitation?
Mark is a great man.
I'm not a bad man. Mark is amazing. Mark is actually, forget about too many brokers. Mark, straight up, Mark is just one of the most salty earth human beings that I know. Like,
yeah,
I would say if I took all the conversations I've had with Mark, 3% of it was about domain names. An overwhelming majority might have been about Phish and the Grateful Dead. And then the vast majority of the other stuff was about, you know, how's family, how's life, like all good. You know what I mean? Like, he's just a great, great person.
I was joking around with Mark saying, don't forget the little people and send me a postcard someday. And so he went to a Phish show and I got the...
of course he did. Of
I got the postcard.
Did. Oh, is that the Sphere? The show at the Sphere?
No, this is when he was in Cancun for the show. But at the Sphere, when we were there last year, we went and looked for the seats he had at the Sphere before the show when we were there. Everyone was there in January. He's like, oh, I know where my seats are. So we were like walking around the seats to find his seats for the Sphere coming up. And I can't imagine what that show was like.
Was he like in the upper bowl for that? I don't know that I could handle
it. No, he was close to our seats where we were sitting.
Dude, we were up there, man. Shout out to the ICA, but like, yo, y'all put us in the nosebleeds. And like,
because I've never been, it's one of the only things I actually am jonesing on. I actually really want to go check that out. But do you want to be up, down, middle? Like, where do you want to be in that joint?
I would rather be lower than higher.
Yeah, but I feel like you, like in a normal concert, you want to be, you know, front and center. But I feel like in that joint, you probably don't want to be front and center.
Well, it's really immersive, right? So no matter where you are, you're going to be experiencing the thing, right? Mm-hmm. What I didn't love about where we were was, you know, you can't get in and out of your seats during the show because it's tight. And you're way out where we were like, you know, back against the top of the Sphere, you know what I'm saying? And like, it just felt like, I don't know, man, like I'm not a great heights guy, you know what I'm saying? So for me, and I couldn't imagine you're at a show like Fish or The Dead or whatever, and like everything that's going on, because I've seen some of the clips and some of that
everything's
stuff.
Going on in your head or in the
yeah, you're vibing up there, dude,
I think he was still reeling over his pickleball loss. I think that was what was
oh,
going
dude,
on.
Oh, dude, are we still, are we, you know what I'm saying?
I still hear about it. I still hear
I'm
about
not
it.
Harboring any resentment at all, but you know, Alan Shiflett can kiss my, you know
oh,
what I'm saying?
No.
No, I'm just playing.
Alan, love you, it's all Alan. Good.
It's all good. Alan, Paul, it wasn't cheap at all. You know what I'm saying? You guys deserve to win the way you chose to win. That was your call. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. No, no, but all the jokes aside about pickleball and all that kind of stuff, the Sphere was an awesome experience. My only issue with it was the movie that they have, like their default movie, is like it utilizes some of the like the capability of the Sphere, but it's kind of a bummer. Like it wasn't like it could have been a much better story, and instead it was sort of like this space dystopian kind of like, oh, you know, I just thought that it missed an opportunity to be awesome, you know.
Humans polluted the earth and ruined it, and then a new society rises at the end.
Yeah, and we got, and the rest of us got to go, like we got to bounce, we got to
like,
go.
It's like Wall-E. It's like, you know? Wall-E.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's like, oh, it's the earth has been trashed and destroyed. We now need to leave earth, you know? And it's kind of like, I don't know, they threw a little hope at the end, but it's kind of like, look, you go to Vegas. This is what I, and I've said this before, you, I think even on the show, you go to Vegas to be uplifted, right? To have fun, to vibe out, to gamble, like the whole thing, the shows, the restaurants, you know, I don't go to be like lectured or fucking even worse, depressed. You know what I'm saying? Like
your morals.
What are you talking about? It's by the guy who did Requiem for a Dream. Like, of course it was dark. It's the dude who did Black Swan. It's like, what are you doing? Like visually, yeah, it's incredible. But somebody needed to be like, nah, we're going to make this shit happy because we want people to leave being like, yo, I'm going to go fucking vibe out now in Vegas. Not, oh, I'm going to go cry in my pillow and, you know, and off myself. Like, what are you
doing?
Well,
maybe they calculated that some percentage of the people walk out of there and put it all on black.
Yo, maybe. People wanna, they might have. They might have been like,
all right, let's go. Let's get into domains.
Oh, yeah, I haven't even introduced you. All right, real quick. Last but not least, below me, we got Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger, the Sniper, a.k.a. Drew got what I need, a.k.a. every Rosner has his thorn, a.k.a. never going to give Drew up, a.k.a. Greybeard the Domain Pirate, a.k.a.
I got that
Lobster.
Beard on today.
You do,
are you,
man,
always
you
the Dirk Diggler of domain names?
The Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, man.
I don't even know where that came from. And it only stuck because I told him to stop saying that one.
That's exactly what it was. He's like, I hate that. Don't do that again. I'm like, not only am I going to do it, I'm going all in on it. it's like my 12-year-old kid. Like we talk about, he's always been deliberately difficult, where he was a little kid, and I don't even think he understood the whole idea of double negatives. But we're like, stop doing that. And he's like, I'm never not going to do that. It's like, okay, great. You know what I'm saying? You're like, that's where we are. And that's how I feel like I need to be with Drew. So that's where we are. Anyway, all right, guys. Well, look, this was the intro, and I'm super excited and happy to have you guys on the show. I mean, we're already getting into some really, really good stuff. So I'm sure the audience appreciates it too. So with that, let's go ahead. You guys want to dive into the domain game? Jeff, you bring a buy or a sell? What you got? You got a name for the game?
When you talk about the domain game, you're talking about names that we bought, sold, or as a broker, or as a domain.
Anything you can
part.
Name, you can do
that's
anything
it.
You want.
However, you want to slice it.
You know what we've noticed? Like recently, we're just talking. I mean, because we're just talking about this right now, we actually just did a co-brokerage deal with Ryan McKegney, and his team. We sold Renew with an E, R-E-N-U-E.
R-E-N-U-E.
Okay.
Okay. Right. And you can disclose the price?
Yep. And it's Renew with an E on the end, so not R-E-N-E-W or R-E-N-U. That's owned by, you know, Bausch & Lomb and such, but we sold that for $125,000 with them about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. That was a pretty good sale.
Wait, time out. Did you just tell us what you sold it for?
I bombed it.
You can't tell the price. We got to guess the price.
Dude, I know you don't watch the show, obviously. You know,
well,
you tell us a name.
Now that you know, you can all tell me it was too low. So what do you think it sold for?
Well, no, I was going to say 50K. So, oh, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
I probably would have been the under. I would have been around 50 is about where I would have put it.
Yeah.
So that's a great deal. So did you represent the buyer or the seller?
We represented the seller on that sale. Okay. And that that name is an interesting one. I think it's a great brand. I mean, but the problem is, again, is the spelling kind of hurts.
Sure, the radio test, you know. Yep.
And going forward, I this is just my belief. You know, this my hot take on AI going forward and how it affects domains is, you know, in a world where we're like talking to an AI agent, I feel like a domain name and a brand needs to be like semantically correct, like spelled the way it sounds, spelled the appropriate way for the word, or made up and unique enough that it's not confusingly similar to something else.
Sure.
But I think like Lyft, you know, for example, the car, the Uber competitor, Lyft. Now maybe they're big enough that you know it gets it and it's specific enough that it gets it. But I think that something like Renew or like I see a lot of weird spellings of Access, for example. I just saw that today, so that's why it came to mind. I think you have to have the right spelling because otherwise you're just in like an ocean of confusion.
I can't barely spell Access. I don't even know if I can properly. Number one. And number two, when I saw it, like Dave Evanson made a great sale this week with Betts with a Z.
Mm. Yeah, like, shout out to Dave, $250,000. I saw that.
Yeah, when I was at Uniregistry, we sold jackpots with a Z, I think for like 15 grand. I've never been a fan of plural with a Z. When you see that in marketing, usually it's like a, or people who use that, I kind of feel like it's lower end, like lower money. You know, just lesser educated, I guess. I don't know if it's the right way to put it, but just I don't get high-end vibes from using Z instead of S from people. And I think it was a great sale by Dave, obviously gambling.
I like that. I don't get high-end vibes.
I don't get high-end vibes. Like yeah, if I saw, or
as
the
kid, as my kids say who play a lot of sports, when they'll be like, those are B-team vibes. You know what I'm saying?
It is B-team vibes. It's a B-team kind of gambler. But like I feel like if I had a choice between bets with a Z or DraftKings or something else, I'd probably, if I didn't know what they were, I would kind of stay away personally. But I'll play the game one more time because I screwed up Renew. I can give you another name, or do you want to go to somebody else?
No, let's go. Give us another name, man. Let's keep it moving. That's a great sale, though. Congratulations. And shout out to Ryan, too.
Yeah, he did. They did a great job, and they were great to work with. And, you know, he's a nice guy as well.
Sure.
Termina.
Yeah, and shout out to Dave. You know, I mean, mentioning a few other folks in the space is, you know.
Yep.
What was it, man?
Termina.com. T-E-R-I-M.
Termina.
Is that terminal in Spanish?
No, it's a point. It's actually appointment in Spanish.
Okay.
Tengo una termina. Like, I have an appointment.
Is that a buy or a sell?
This was a acquisition.
All right. And spell it one more time.
You represented the buyer. Great, great name. I probably sold for a lot less than it's worth.
So you said it's Termina? Great name. All right. Hold on. TERMINA.com?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And this was an acquisition. All right.
I don't know if it's developed yet.
All right. So you put it on your phone. Steve, you know how we do this? Oh. Yep. Ready? 3, 2, 1, flip.
Oh, wow. Steve's going low.
Steve, you have 10 grand?
Yeah,
if we were playing Limbo, Steve won.
So all right, so he's at 10,000 or 9999. I'm at 100,000. Drew is at 149,000.
888. Nothing matters.
He's buying it. Just gonna get a good deal.
Well, I mean,
did it, but the price was 57,500.
Boom! That JT gets it.
Woo! Let's go. All right.
Great. I mean, listen. That, you know, that's literally appointment.com, except that in Spanish, it's even more widely used than the word appointment. And it just sounds better and it looks better and it's just more widely adopted and used. And Termina.com it's also just a good brand, whereas appointment.com is not a particularly great brand. That's a great domain. That buyer got a great deal.
Yeah.
I should send you a Christmas card.
Well, I love it for the Spanish application, but even as just as a cool brand.
Yeah, just
name,
as a brand. Yeah.
Termina. It's like kind of to your point, Drew, right? Like when you say it, you know how to spell it, right? I'm not sitting there saying, like, you know, for the most part, that spelling is how I would spell it.
That's the beauty of Spanish in general, though, is words sound the way they are spelled.
It's like, yeah, exactly. Which is unique.
You know, more phonetic.
Done in a common sense kind of way. So that's good stuff, man. Well, both good deals, man. That was a great deal on the sell side, and that's a very good deal on the buy side. So, all right. Well, good work. Steve, what about you, dog? What you got? You got a buy or a sell for us? Well, was he froze? Is he froze for all y'all?
Uh-oh.
So, but I do have one that I actually...
There we go.
Oh.
You're back. You froze up for a minute.
Oh, you're good, though. You're good.
Okay. Is Jeff on board? I think is. All right. So I have one that I actually I did for myself because I can't share any client deals. And I just saw it and I got it. And it's musiclawyers.com.
Oh, nice. You know, it's funny. I actually got a little holiday card, you know, one of these stupid digital holiday card emails from the number one. JT, you probably got it too, from the number one like attorney in the music business. I got that in my inbox today, and it's probably the right buyer for that domain, because I couldn't even tell you the name of the firm because the name is so convoluted, but
because it's the last names. But yeah, we worked with them with part of Aped In and everything. Yeah, so.
exactly.
Yeah. I got it too,
and then Gary stuck us with the bill. Thanks, Gary.
We did. Yeah,
thanks, Gary.
They're good because they weren't cheap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So this was a buy or a sell on your end, Steve?
All right.
Oh, so you bought this. Okay. So now
you bought it on the drop, or did you buy it from someone who owned it?
Did we share that information?
I mean, only if you want.
Generally, not really, unless it's like, you know, making a step difference in the price. I don't think it matters.
Musiclawyers.com. All right. I'm ready to bring this home before we even get to Drew. That's what I'm doing right here. That's it.
Well, I lost my calculator here. Hold on.
Well, you better bring it home, because otherwise, because I don't think you can participate in the one that I'm doing.
I know. That's what always happens, man. So now I'm going to be.
It's music lawyer, plural, singular, right?
Plural.
Plural.
Musiclawyers.com.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. 3, 2, 1, flip. Drew, yours is... all right. So yeah. Jeff is showing 1,139. Drew is at 2,488. And I'm at 4,500.
What's Jeff? I can't see. What's Jeff's number? I can't see it.
$1,139.
Jeff is the winner. $511.
Oh.
Okay. Wow, great buy.
That's
great.
A good deal. Yeah, where'd you get it?
I got it on the beloved NameJet platform.
Ah, man. All right.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I saw it, and I've done some work for music lawyers in the past, and it just caught my eye. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. And I never thought I'd win it, because I thought Braden would not bid me for it. But I don't know. Yeah. He must have been sleeping that day.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we have Braden on the show all the time, obviously. And, you know, when he talks about his legal domains, and he's got this, you know, huge portfolio of legal names, I get the sense that they're not buying.
He poo-poos them mostly.
Yeah, he's not a buyer of names in that vertical. I feel like he's more of a seller, you know.
Maybe. Yeah, I think he's still a buyer, but he poo-poos it. I mean, they're cheap. The lawyers are cheap. But at $500, I mean, that's an easy 10x,
20x. 20x, for sure.
I mean, that should be a quick money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jeff with the point. All right. Well, then Drew, it's on you now. So, damn it. I had a shot. Should have gone low.
Let's see.
I should have gone low based on how low you went on Jeff's acquisition name. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like that was a tell, and I didn't use that as well as I should have.
All right, I'm gonna say I'm gonna go with let's go with EIQ.com.
All right, you're doing it. That's what I'm doing.
You want to go EIQ or you want to go PleaseDrinkResponsibly.com?
Out of these names that you bought or you sold?
These are sales, but from our own portfolio, not clients.
Okay. Which one are you going to go with?
I don't know. You guys pick.
I like them.
All right. EIQ.
All right. I'm out on this one. So if Jeff can get the point here, Jeff wins the game. If Steve gets the point, we'll use the other name as the tiebreaker. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
So let's see it. EIQ.com. All right, here we go. All right. Ooh, okay. Jeff is at 107,223, very specific. Steve is at $149,000. And it looks like we are going.
So, first off, we got to bring these guys on more often because they make me feel good. Everybody else always makes me feel bad about the things I disclose. So I actually didn't think it was a great sale, but we sold it for $250. So Steve gets it.
He gets the point. We're going to own overtime, baby.
We go.
Overtime.
I've done very well with some of these three-letter IQ names, also four-letter IQ names. And because intelligence is like a huge there's so many enterprise applications for intelligence, and IQ is another way of saying intelligence, and it's an even more brandable way of saying intelligence. And so there's a lot of companies that use IQ in their brand name. EIQ, I had it priced at $750. Generally, I would never discount it that much, but it was, it was end of year. And actually, EIQ, we literally, it might have been the first inquiry we ever got on EIQ. Or at least the first time we ever got a serious, offer. They started around 50, gradually worked them up. They actually walked away. I think after they offered 150, which is what you pegged it at, they walked away. And then they came back and they said, look, 200, that's our best and final. And I said, look, if you can pay before the holidays, I'll give it to you for 250. And it did. And it just closed on Friday. So, I let them have it. And I think they got a good deal. And I think, I got a fair deal. And, but I do think it's a great name. It's kind of emotional intelligence also, is EIQ or EQ. I think they say EQ more than EIQ, but still. Anyways. All right. So now we're going to overtime. We'll go pleasedrinkresponsibly.com between Jeff and Steve.
So it's a three-word. Please drink responsibly.
Yep. PleaseDrinkResponsibly.com. Three words.
This is big time. Overtime between two newcomers.
I've sold a few three-word.coms. Not many, though.
The domain Most game. Like five the insurance names deep on the domain game.
Health.
PleaseDomainResponsibly.com.
We sold a name that was a little bit longer, this one, and I thought to myself, I wouldn't even hand register that, and it sold for like $6,000, right? And so sometimes you see these that are just, is a very common saying, though, especially in the United States in this particular time of year. And this could go, if they really wanted it bad, and it's the right buyer, you could ask for something within reason.
We ready to flip?
How do you commercialize it? That's the thing.
Well, thank you for not smoking was a movie, right? And
DUI attorney.
There's definitely yeah.
Getting DUI attorneys like, drink to your heart's desire and then call me.
Well, they act like they don't want you to drink, right?
But it could be you could have like an alcohol company that uses it for campaign, So all right, let's see it. 3, 2, 1, flip your phones.
I think I went too high.
Okay, Steve's at 7,900.
11.
Jeff is at 11,500.
It's a tight race, but Jeff takes it by $500.
Whoa. What was the total?
It was exactly $10,000. And the buyer is actually making a movie, and I'm going to get a producer credit with a special thanks at the end of the movie.
A producer credit? You asked for the producer?
Yeah, I said I want a producer credit.
That's it, man. Boom. See? You can't get equity, you're going to get credit.
So, you know what? I had priced this one at 25, and the reason I was a little bit firm with the guy, and I came around when he said, "I'll give me the producer credit and the thing." He actually disappeared for like 6 months, and then he came back and he said, "Look, we're making a lot of progress. This thing's going to get made. You know, let's do something." And he offered to give me the credit, and I said, "All right, let's do it. Go ahead." And he said he's going to do the movie's going to be like a public benefit. So, I think it's going to good hands. But, the bottom, I think, of all alcoholic beverages in the United States now say, please drink responsibly. The bottom of every can, every bottle.
I think it says, please drink more responsibly, right? Isn't that what it's supposed to say, right?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
That's probably what they want to say. You know what I'm saying? So it's, but hey, all right. Look, that was great. Overtime round within $500. Good job, guys. Yeah. Congratulations to Jeff for the win. I got a Domain Sherpa hoodie for you that I can probably get to you. Well, even Steve. I mean, it's, we're all Florida. So there's, we'll figure out. Well, it's funny. I told Jeff, I'm like, hey, I'm going to be in Tampa in a couple of weeks. Still an hour away, but, you know.
Yeah, it's close for Florida.
Close-ish. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it's closer. But all good. All right. Well, cool. That's what's up. That was I personally think that was a great show in the domain game, even for one where I didn't win. I had a lead, couldn't seal the deal, you know, but that's all right. That's what the next show is going to be about. In the meantime, congratulations to Jeff for taking it home.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
All right, well, let's slide into the next segment. We've got NameJet and Jet. This section is sponsored by NameJet. We're going to review a list of domains heading into auction. We're going to see what the Sherpas like, what they don't like. You can go to the Domain Sherpa website, domainsherpa.com, to the page for this particular episode and download a spreadsheet that'll have a list of the names that we're talking about, along with Estimat appraisals, some back order information, and other stuff. So to help you all along in your process. And so let's go ahead and pull the list up and let's talk about it. Steve, we'll start with you since Jeff started the domain game and you are next on sort of in the counterclockwise motion, you know, order on my screen. There's about 16 names, so you can talk about a couple of these.
Can I see the list?
Yeah, I sent you the list, man. What you need me to do? You need me to send? It was attached to the email, man. You know what I'm saying? You know what? I'm going to put the list in the chat. Don't worry.
I have to admit, I was rushing this morning. I was playing softball this morning. So I literally came from the softball field, hopped in the shower, and jumped on the screen.
I forgot that you do a whole lot of softballs, like your jam, right? I mean, that isn't that.
I do three things. I play softball, I buy and sell domain names, and I eat.
There you go, man. Love it.
Now, so. Am I crazy? Because JT said you used to play football, but I for some reason I had it in my head that you played hockey.
No, it's funny you say that. I did not play hockey. I wish I did. I'm from Pittsburgh, so hockey.
Why did I think that?
I wish I did. I mean, I'm an old offensive lineman, so that's why. You know, I'm not out there self-promoting. I view my clients as my quarterbacks and running backs. So if I do my job, then they're happy. And that's my mentality. But I'm a huge hockey fan. I'm a huge Penguins fan. And I love hockey. And I wish I did play. But didn't grow up skating. So I never really played much. Played a little stick hockey, but that's not the same.
But that's why, you know, in the AKAs, I gave you the Tony Baselli. You know what I mean? I was actually going through offensive linemen. And I was like, it was almost going to be Anthony Munoz. Was an option. I had a couple others. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was very humbling to be even in the same breath as Tony Baselli.
Hey, man. You know, that's not an easy position to play. You guys are in the trenches. And back then, I have a buddy of mine who actually the guy who's the general counsel of Web.com or Newfold Digital, Jeff Neese. He was did a bunch of legal stuff for NameJet when I was running NameJet and all that good stuff. And I've known him for a long, long time. And he played his college football at Marshall. This was actually before Marshall had moved over to D1. Yeah. He talks about how, you know, this was back in the day.
Randy's home.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Randy Moss.
Randy's got cancer.
Yeah, dude, liver cancer. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's weird, right?
No, just let you know, don't take anything for granted. But you know, Jeff will tell the story. He's old like us, and you know, where it was like first, you know, second practice, freezing cold, you know, whenever they were out. I forget, maybe it was, I don't know. It was cold because it gets cold up there. And cracked his, you know, thumb between two helmets, and they basically like, you know, that shit looks like, you know, and they're just taping it up and send him right back out. You know what I mean? They're like, yeah, now you're looking, now you got the club hand like OCE Manure or whoever that was that, you know, no, Jean-Pierre Paul.
JPP. Paul. Didn't he have his hand blown off by the fireworks?
Fireworks.
Yeah.
He lost the thumb and the forefinger.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Now he's unfortunate.
Like, now he's like,
who was the lineman who had his finger cut off so he could play in the game?
Well, was that Ronnie Lott, right?
It was Ronnie Lott.
That at halftime or is that before the game start? Yeah.
No, I think it was between games. I don't think they did it between, like, during the
game. Yeah, the story Tommy as it's coached. Evolved is basically saying, like, they were like, you can't go back in with that finger shattered hanging off of the edge, so we're going to cut it and send you right back in. But, yes, I think in order to him not have to have season-ending or disruptive-type surgery, he basically opted to have, like, this piece of his, like, one finger amputated so that he could finish the season without, like, missing any games.
That wouldn't happen.
Dudes were built different back then, man. That's what it is. Dude.
I mean, different. I had this crazy rugby coach. This guy was a nut. Steve, you'll laugh because I'm literally half your size, but I actually played center tackle in high school ball because I hit hard. I used to hit real hard. I was a lot more jacked back then, but I wasn't like, I didn't look like a center tackle. But anyways, I had this rugby coach. And, man, I went to tackle this guy, and he just planted his foot and hit me with an elbow square in the face, broke my orbital, broke my sinus cavity, broke my, this is the orbital, too. And, I mean, my forehead was hanging over my eye. My nickname for the next year was Quasimodo. And, I tell you, they dragged me off the thing. I had a concussion. I'm leaning up against a tree. I got blood coming out of my eye, blood coming out of my nose. I mean, I was banged up, and my pothead friend who did zero sports was there watching the game. He comes over, he's like, "Hey man, you don't look too good." and so this dude didn't even have a driver's license. He's like, "You think I should drive you to the hospital?" And my coach comes over, and it's just, you know, they don't make them like this anymore. And he just comes over and he grabs my chin. He looks, he's looking at me. He goes, he's fine. Give him 10 minutes. He's back in the game. And so I'm like, and so Martin's like, man, if he puts you back in the game, that's going to be bad. He's like, let's just go to the hospital. So he like lifts me up and we get to my car and I'm about to hand this guy my keys. And I looked at Martin and I was like, you know what? I'm going to drive. And I literally swear to God, I drove. Didn't even let him. He was drunk, stoned, the whole thing. And so I was like, even with a concussion and a freaking broken eye, I drove myself. But anyways, flashbacks.
There you go.
Well, yeah, I mean, when I was in college, we would have our, you know, for our fraternity, we would every year we'd have the, you know, the brothers would play the pledges, you know, in tackle football. And that would get kind of out of hand. I remember one time, one kid, busted his eardrum getting tackled, you know, and he was one of the pledges, or we called him associate. And we did the whole, just sort of dropped him off on the curb outside by the hospital. You know, we're not trying to take any responsibility here. I'm like, look, I'm not the one to hit him. You know what I mean? But just because I'm not trying to be involved, it's like, here you go, dog. You know, like,
hey, we're pulling up. Go ahead and unbuckle your seatbelt.
Exactly.
Like Pulp Fiction.
That's what it is. It's like, hey, I'm in big fucking trouble, man. I'm coming to your house. But yeah, times have changed, man. It's different. The world's a different place. But anyway, all right.
For better or worse.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's get into this name jet list. So we threw it in the chat. I have it in alphabetical order. Drew's got it, looks like, in some kind of a Estabot value order. So, Steve, you want to go or you want to wait? What do you
wait. I want to see. I got to get to the chat. There's a chat that I can see the names. I still haven't seen it.
Down at the bottom of the screen, there should be the chat button, the little tube, you know, the little.
Yeah, or if you just go into the email and there's the Excel sheet that I attached to the email.
I'll do that. So why don't you go ahead and skip me and then I'll go in there and look at that.
Well, let's let Jeff, since he's special guest, and Drew will talk about every name before anybody else even talks. So
Steza, I usually talk about less than everybody else.
I know. It's this thing. It's part of the show. Jeff, what do you like? What don't you like, man? What's up?
I think the clear winner that no one can really argue about is Samba on there. But, you know, I mean, that's obvious. I think ones that the stats don't really make it look great that I would like personally, that I think you could probably get it at reasonable prices, would be Go Natural would be one I'd like. If you're going to get it at a cheap price, you probably get it similar for what Steve paid for the music lawyer's name. And I think the other one, if you live in the Florida area, Sunset Village is something that's probably on, you know, within every 5 square miles in Florida and every other vacation destination, whether it's a retirement community, another fucking huge real estate project or something's called Sunset Village. But again, you know, the stats might not notice that and you could get a good deal there. And then, you know, the one that I think could be, a false positive that you might end up kind of with a bag, like that's not great, I think, but it tells you kind of differently. I think Dinner Cruise is not Dinner Cruise isn't great, and the reason is it's such local small businesses that are Google's made it so when you search Dinner Cruise, it's really just showing you results in a very small area, and it's a very, you know, buy the traffic kind of thing, and I think trying to find buyers for that would be challenging, contacting a lot of these small captains on lower margins. I think it'd be tough to get that thing sold. Personally, you know?
Yep. No, I think that's all really great feedback. I love referring to a name that, you know, you might end up buying and hanging on to for a while as a false positive. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's awesome. I love that.
You know, like there's certain names, like someone will be like, "Oh, I'm going on your appraisal tool and it says it's worth $100,000. And I'm like, yeah, no. It's not, and these are the reasons why it's off, because these reasons, and those are all the wrong, you know, those are all the wrong things making the system excited, you know, and there you have it.
No, I think it's a great point, and I also think that, you know, highlighting the names, the winners, if you will, you know, we say it on the show all the time, you really make money on the buy, not the sell, right? It's what, you know, names that you can get at a good price that you can 10, 20, 30X, right?
Yeah.
And I would agree. I mean, I think that we always say, look, take the Estabot appraisals with a grain of salt, but, you know, shout out to them, because, you know, there's all obviously a ton of data that they also provide around search and stuff like that that's useful. And you know, at least gives us a talking point, you know, but Go Natural at $600. I mean, to me, if you can get Go Natural in $500 to $600 range type of thing.
Like ask me $20,000 or $15,000 for it. And it's there's a candy bar company out of Australia named that. I mean, I would think that's a great buy, you know, and then you don't know what vegan whatever is coming out named that around here.
Oh, yeah.
Samba, I think, would be hard if you bought it as a company, because you got all the old Adidas shoes that you're going to have to compete with in SEO that come up. And so you're going to have a hell of a time ranking for that. Same with if you buy an animal name, you know. Well,
there's a software company from back in the day called Samba. There's, you know, I mean, but even if you go
That's probably who owned it.
There's insurance. There is, you know, I mean, it's.
I think it's the best name on the list. Without
it's a dance or a song, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's so much stuff in, you know, that from a brand standpoint, I would agree. I think you obviously have to be careful around shoes and certain classes of goods, but there are plenty of companies out there that are using that.
No. The point that Jeff was making wasn't about the trademark. The point Jeff was making was about SEO. It was actually a very astute observation that. If you buy a common name that's like an animal or a type of music, suddenly you have to compete in SEO with all this generic content like Wikipedia and, you know, every Samba enthusiast, you know.
Yeah.
So association and every little, you know, Brazilian community around the world. And like, you know, there's a lot. All the music, all the content. There's a lot of generic content that now you're competing against from an SEO standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, so good luck. Yeah. Like Llama got, you know, is the name of the new AI product, but like, you know, you're still competing with National Geographic and Wikipedia. Now, you know, amazingly enough, you search Llama and the AI tool comes up first, because, you know, what a surprise. But, you know, in with other normal companies, you got a hell of a job to come up as first, you know, with,
yep. Yeah.
Something like that, you know? So like,
interesting. I just wanted to check it. If you type Amazon into Google, every single listing is applicable to, so 9 out of 10 are actually from Amazon. And then there's one that's Wikipedia, but it's the disambiguation for Amazon, the company, and not Amazon, the rainforest. Interesting.
Well,
that took billions and billions of dollars to make happen.
But it's also human. It's also human. What they're converting on the search results, right? So Google knows what converts. You're going to put the river up there first in the rainforest. I mean, that's not going to convert. That's a bad experience for their clients, right? So yeah,
I was very happy to buy Save the Rainforest once. I paid $10,000 for it. I've never had a single person ever inquire. Ever. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to save the rainforest.
Nope.
That's, you know, not my problem is what people are saying about that, you know? So, all right, well, let's keep it moving. That's all good stuff. Steve, are you ready? What's that?
I said, I'm asking the listener. Thank you.
All right, let's go, man. Talk to us.
I actually, it's kind of timely. I have a dental procedure tomorrow. So I like City Dental. I think
okay. It's
gonna be a pretty cool brand for a dentist office, and I know what I have to pay tomorrow for this dental procedure, so I know what kind of money the dentists make. I think it's definitely a cool brand for a new dentist practice starting out, especially in one of the larger cities. I mean, the dentist in New York City, they kind of separate themselves out. I think that's a pretty cool brand. Not a huge dollar name, but I think it's a good brand.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like. I do like Samba. I think it's an okay brand. I think that the rest on this list, not great names.
You don't like Waterbag?
No.
What a sexy name, huh?
You know, I almost got rid of Waterbag off the list.
It's like the PG version of douchebag.
That water bag. That's
what I'm saying. Yeah, those weird bags in the 1950s.
You know, and you're trying to be PG, but you're like that fucking water bag. But I guess in my mind, I thought of it like from a sports or running, you know what I mean? Like you get those, almost like a fanny pack with water.
You call that a camel bag, right?
Is that what those are? They actually have a name already?
That's a camel bag. Yeah, it's a camel bag.
I thought it's that like rubber thing from cartoons, from the 1950s cartoons that they had in their beds.
Oh, to warm. Yeah, to keep you warm. You filled it with warm
water. Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
My grandmother still had that. When I sleep at my grandmother's house,
are those water bags? I don't know what those are called. Let me see.
It was literally a big old, like, it turned your bed into like a water bed, but it had, can't remember if it was plugged in or she just put boiling, she might have just put boiling water in that thing. But it was like, yeah.
Yeah, on Amazon, they're referred to as hot water bags or hot bags. On Walmart, they're hot bags. Or on Amazon, it's hot water bag. But yeah, I would
for
say
me, hot bags has a different meaning.
I think that's, yeah, I would say that's Drew's new nickname.
Bags.
Hot bags
has a whole different meaning as well. But yeah, you know, you're right. And like I said, that was a name that was really close to getting cut. So
yeah, probably shouldn't have made the cut.
Probably should. You know what? I wish I cut it now. No, we wouldn't have even talked about it. All right. So Steve, anything else, man, or that's it?
For the right company, I think exercise ball would be interesting. I mean, that was pretty hot for people to use, exercise balls to do stretching and, you know, different.
Yeah, now people sit on them for office chair.
It's true. That's true. So, obviously, it's a different category. It's like a keyword domain, but somebody that is selling those, I think it'd be a great keyword domain name to use and create a landing page and promote their products.
Yeah, I'm with it. All right, Drew, what about you, man? You ready?
Yeah. I mean, I already gave my thoughts on Samba. I like it, but it is, you know, it's crowded. It's going to be a tough climb. I kind of like Mercurial. I don't actually even know what that means. What does it even mean? What does Mercurial mean?
I love it. I'm a big fan of
angered. and irritated. It's not a positive word.
Yeah, but I like it. I always thought it meant like dynamic, you know?
No.
It's sudden. It's subject to sudden or unpredictable changes of mood or mind. So, I mean, somebody who's a little, it's kind of like you, Drew. You're mercurial. You know what I'm saying?
But it's not a positive.
I knew I liked it. I knew I liked it.
Positive adjective.
That's fair. That's a fair point. I actually thought it was, but
there are, if you Google it though, there are, I mean, even Nike's got a mercurial line. There's a couple of computer science. Well,
right.
Companies.
Because you know what it is too? I consider like the god Mercury. Right. And I think mercurial.
Yeah, well, that's why I thought about it was Mercury was I was thinking about from that.
And according to Google, it can have both positive and negative connotations because it could mean animated, lively, or quick witted. In fact, you know, you might describe someone as having a mercurial temperament if they're clever, lively, and quick. See? Boom. Or if when used to describe someone's mood or behavior, it's usually a negative connotation, emphasizing volatility, unpredictability, and fickleness. You know what I'm saying?
You could have left it at the first definition. You know what I'm saying? Like
that's how I think of it, though. That's how I actually do think of it positively. I like the word a lot. I think it could be interesting, especially from a crypto or some other kind of standpoint. Like if there's, you know, to me, there's probably some tech leaning use for this domain. But I think it's also what you buy.
We're not talking about, you know, a huge sale here. This is, you know, it doesn't exactly roll off the tongue.
That's true.
I also really like City Dental. I think City Dental's a banger. You know, I don't know what somebody's going to pay for it, but probably 10 to 25 grand. I bet you there's a solid buyer out there for investment solutions too. There's just so many investment companies called so many different things, and investment solutions is a pretty
That name is like a Josh Reason special. Like, you know, when we have Josh on the show, he talks a lot about, you know, kind of picking those words that at the end, like solutions names, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve probably naturally rejects the name because of network solutions, you know what I'm saying? Because of his history there. And I feel you, dog.
It's like a histamine. It's an allergy.
You notice JT starts hugging himself when he starts.
I know, I'm like, I feel you. Yeah. I feel you.
No, it's like, I got to okay. Feel comfy again.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
I never think about places I got paroled from, so.
There you go. Exactly. You know what? Right.
I'm actually going to go out here. I'm going to say Relocator is my favorite name on this list because that is a huge business. It is an enormously growing business as people become more and more and more able to work from anywhere. Businesses are moving. You know, you got lots of jurisdictional changes, people on the move, digital nomading, and relocation services is a enormous business. It's extremely expensive. It gets paid for at the enterprise level. And Relocator is one of the best brands I could imagine for the space, other than maybe relocate.com. So I think it's a great name. I think that's a great name. And I could easily imagine a 100, 150 sale price to an end user. You know, I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow, but that's a great name. That's probably an overlooked one that could fetch some big dollars in the right hands.
I'm with it, man. Yeah, no, and I think that.
And I'll also say I like favorite.net. You know, again, you know, it's got to be for the right price, maybe 5 grand or less. But favorite.net, you know, it's a good. That's just a big enough keyword. That I think that name eventually finds a home.
Do you think I have some clients that have a lot of .NET names and they're not making a lot of sales. And I've talked to Braden about it and he owns a lot of .NETs as well. And I kind of feel like .NET is not performing the way it used to in any way.
It's definitely not. It's definitely not. It's definitely the ugly redheaded stepchild. But
not just redheaded, but it's ugly redheaded stepchild. You know,
what I'm saying?
It's like I call it your dad. Have some extension. Stuff going against it. It's like ugly ginger.
But you know, there's certain keywords. You know, for example, literally, I don't know what they offered yet, but I apparently got an offer on DNA.net. Literally, as we started this, I haven't even read the email yet, so I don't know what they offered. But I don't know. You know, like we sold a .NET this month, I think. I don't remember what it was, so it couldn't have been anything to write home about, but We sell them once in a while. I've done pretty well with three-letter.nets. Those have actually done well because they end up selling to like telecoms and communication companies and, you know, little IT companies and, you know, and they go for $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. A good one goes for $25,000. So those have done pretty well for us consistently. Not as well as they used to.
Yeah, I find it interesting that you'll see companies using, you know, a random GTLD, and then you look in the .NET's available for like $1,200, and it's just like, what are you doing to yourself? I mean, and you're a B2C company.
Yeah,
like the consumer base is used to .NET. People aren't used to some of these GTLDs, you know, and it's like you're stretching, man. Like,
well, we just I can't justify to pay more for a .io, for example, than for a .NET. I don't know. To me, the IO thing is way overblown. I'd much rather own a .NET.
Well, so a couple of things.
I'd much rather own a .org above everything except .com.
Yeah. On the favorite.net, I know that favorite.com is for sale. So does that impact your decision to go after favorite.net if the .com is unused?
It depends what the price is on favorite.com. Exactly. If the price the guy wants $1.45 million for it. I mean, if you could put this up and put a buy it now for $30,000, it would look pretty shiny sitting there for a company that takes a look and sees 1.4 and you're sitting there at 30. I mean, it's competition, right?
100%.
Especially you buy it for short money on the drop here. I mean, you could just sit and that's a good position to be in, you know? And then
what about you, Steve?
Sells, like first phone call, you see it transfers. Guess who you're calling? Let's make a deal, right? So.
.com is king, right? And you know, I agree with Drew on this. Anything other than a .com when you're in a commercial business, it is you're not good enough or you don't have the money to get there.
That's right.
Getting a .NET has a place in this space, but it's not for a serious business. I don't see it. So for the right buyer, maybe, but they have to have a very specific application for a .NET. I think it's .com for any type of business that wants to be multi-million dollar, billion dollar business.
Unless you're Verizon.
Well, even now they're on .com, right? I mean,
they
only hung around on .net for so long.
Oh, yeah.
Steve, how do you feel if the .net's
available? I knew I just bought a .net, but for like literally $100, but I have frequencies .net, which I'll probably own in 20 years. So
well, hold on guys. Steve, how do you feel about buying a .NET when the .com is currently unused, both either for sale or sort of just lost in the ether?
Yeah, I mean, again, it goes back to price. I mean, obviously, Jeff made a good point that the .com is priced so high that .NET could fill that gap and void of somebody that wants to start out and potentially maybe an entree into ultimately becoming a business that has enough cash that can actually go out and buy the .com. That is a possibility. You know, it's going to be the price. I wouldn't pay a ton of money for .NET, but I've seen a softening of the market of .NET. I really just don't get very many requests to buy .NETs. It's just not something that runs across my mind. I do get a lot of .IOs. I get the AIs and, you know, and .orgs and comps. So it's just .NET is not something I particularly buy. Even country codes are much more prevalent for me.
We saw .NETs have a little bit of a moment maybe about a little less than a year ago. We actually did a show called Nothing But Net was the title of the show because, you know, we saw some sales actually happen around .NET, but it was like this one sort of, you know, little bit of a blip.
It's what you call a dead cat bounce.
Well, it's interesting because obviously domains are such unique assets in that the way they trade, right? It's not like, okay, you know, like the dead cat bounce that you'll see with stocks and other things, even certain crypto, because it just doesn't work that way, you know? So it's interesting when there are these sort of pockets of, but you know, it is purely and largely anecdotal. But yeah. All right. Well, favorite.net, not the favorite name, but a lot of times, again, it just depends on what you can get it for. And maybe ultimately, we know Braden's got a lot of .NETs. He talks about them and, you know, I don't think he sells a whole lot very often. You know, he's also not necessarily pricing them to sell, but at the same time, I don't think that's what's blowing up his inbox of people trying to buy his .NET portfolio. So, but yeah. All right, cool. Well, look, all good. We went through the list. Big shout out to NameJet. So everybody, good luck with that. You know, some interesting names. Ultimately, like we said, it just depends on what you can get them for. There are some names there with some opportunity if you can get it for the right price. All right, so with all that, we're kind of at the grand closing. We've got about 3-4 minutes really on the clock, but we can extend a little bit if you guys want to talk about anything. We've covered a lot of ground on different things. Been a great show. Jeff, why don't we kind of, we'll just go around the horn again, starting with you. Anything else that you want to mention? What else you got going on in your life? I know you got your podcast that you're doing. When's the next episode of that? And what else is good?
Oh, I've taken a little break from the podcast, but we launched a marketplace back in August. You can check that out at market.saw.com. Sweet. We're constantly working on it. You know, the team that built most of Uniregistry is working with me to do this. And, you know, awesome. I had 7 years building that and 5 years doing this and over $500 million in sales. So, you know, and this is what we do. And so come check us out. And thanks for having us.
Yeah, man. No, thanks for being here. All right, Steve, what about yourself?
Always good here. Had a great 2024. Appreciative of all the brokers and the domain investors I've worked with and cooperated with throughout the past year. I've been doing this for six plus years at Name Arena, and really very blessed to be in the position that I'm in. So, do what I do in the morning and go out and have my fun and play softball or do batting practice and then get to work. But I work at all hours of the day. Sometimes I'm up at 3 and 4 in the morning and working so I could do what I do. So it's a really cool gig. Living in paradise, as three of us live in Florida. We were just talking. I live further south than the two of you.
Yeah. Whereabouts are you, more or less?
In the tundra.
Yeah, you guys really aren't even in Florida. That's kind of South Georgia.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely in like South Georgia. I mean, when Jeff is in Tampa, it's a little bit more Florida, but he's in Naples.
Yeah. Okay. In fact, I heard, I don't know Shane. I've never met Shane, but I guess he's got a place down here. He was talking when I saw the episode where he had his bird down here.
Oh, yeah. It's his.
Oh, that's
his
right. Pipes. Yeah.
It was his. So he was down there for a little. I don't know how long he's there for, but you guys should connect and I'll help.
Yeah, I'd love to connect with him. Honestly, I've never met him. I've watched him so many times.
Oh, that's really funny. Yeah. I just assume everybody kind of knows everybody, especially you guys have been around so long. But I will definitely help connect the dots. Well, I got a little bit of noise in my background, so I'm on mute. But all right, cool. What are you looking forward to in 2025?
Just another strong year. I've got a lot of working a lot of deals right now. And I'm selling some names. So if you want to go out to namearena.com, I have my premium list out there. I don't sell a ton of names. I'm probably 85 to 90% on the buy side, but I do have some good quality names out there that I am selling. So if we can get a deal done, that would be great.
Awesome, man. All right, Drew, last but certainly not least, the mercurial one. You know what I mean? What's good?
All good. All good. Like Steve, amazing 2024. I think it'll end up being our best year ever. If we get this last deal closed, I think it puts us above 2021. We're right down to the wire. We'll see if it closes this year. Excited for 2025.
Did he freeze? Oh, he's thinking.
I'm thinking.
But Drew doesn't talk for a second, and you think he froze. That's best.
He doesn't move.
No, honestly, I'm really glad to have both of you on here. I'm actually shocked that Jeff, you haven't been on since AT became the host. Is that really true? Are you sure?
I haven't been on since you had Tess handling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. So, well, and this is part of a.
Anyways, I hope we could do this more often. And,
yeah, let me know.
It's really nice having you guys on, so I appreciate it.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Good. Yeah.
I think I think this is the type of stuff that helps the whole space, the whole industry, and glad you guys could take the time.
Yeah, man. Yeah, no, this has been great.
I don't know, is this our last episode before the holidays?
I think we'll do one more. We'll do our Christmas show, ugly sweater style type stuff. I think I got to get that.
Am I in that show?
I mean, you should be. You know,
I might not be in that show.
Yo, you'd be showing up like the Grinch. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of your jam.
I almost wore my ugly Christmas sweater, but I decided against it at the last minute. It is so ridiculous.
I got to coordinate that for now. We'll see what's up for next week because I know people are kind of in and out. But so, yeah, I think we probably have one more. We'll even see if you guys are around. Maybe we'll do a big group type thing. You know, I'm still just, haven't really pinned it down just because.
We should do. Why don't we do like we should do a Domain Sherpa hangout once. You know what I mean? Like
drinking encouraged.
Exactly.
Yeah. Please don't drink responsibly.
Well, if you guys are going in the ICA, you should just do one live at the bar at 2 a.m.
I'm not going.
When we're all loaded.
JT flip-flops daily. Billy will be there. Yeah. Shout out, Billy. Billy will be there.
Yeah, I've just got stuff just keeps coming up, man. It gets harder and harder to commit to saying, hey, and, but I'd like to go, and I'd also like to go for the 2 days following that are going to be D3's Dominion event. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
Shane's
helping them with that. And, I know they're also having some kind of a little crossover type thing. They're doing some kind of, it just came through on the ICA distro today. I don't know if it's a cocktail hour or whatever, but then the 2 days following the ICA event is the D3 Dominion Web3 and all that stuff type of, so worth sticking around another day or two if you guys are, anybody's making that trip out there. And so all good stuff. It's like, we'll close up 2024 and then 2025 is going to get active. There's going to be, no rest, no sleep for the wicked.
I like that buzzkill.com on your website, Steve.
You like this?
What's the ticket on that? I got some few people I might want to give that to as a Christmas present.
Oh, really? we'll talk offline. Maybe I'll give you a special deal.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. Hey, listen, Jeff, Steve, thank you guys so much. Drew, always thank you. Appreciate your time as well. To the audience, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I think this was a great show. Having these guys on, we've definitely made it an effort over the course of this past year to bring some folks on. We had Andrew Allman on the show twice, and, I think we did have Bill and a few others, and, and we're obviously a lot of the usual suspects, and, I don't know if this is the last show, so I don't know if I should be doing a roll call to thank everybody individually and all that good stuff, but we'll probably save that for the next one.
You save that.
But either way, you get
y'all know who you are. We love you.
Yeah, it's 100%. Well, you get to this point of the year, you got Thanksgiving. We talk about just being grateful for everybody and, everything that everybody does. Big shout out to the ICA folks, Camilla, Zach, Nat, everybody that's out there trying to, rising tide, lifting all of the boats in the domain space. It's really, really important because the people that are in this space are great. And most of them working really, really hard in good ways to do good things. And so we appreciate everybody. And but on this particular show, I mostly appreciate you guys and I mostly appreciate the audience. Without you, there is no us. So thank you so much for tuning in. And, if you need to find us, we're not hard to find. Let us know. Otherwise, we'll see everybody here next time on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, everybody. We'll see you all soon.